Hey, Pa. Hey, Grandma Molly. Grandpa Louie, even though I never met you. Hey, folks. Harry here. I'm in a very interesting place today. In Glendale, Queens, at the Mount Lebanon Cemetery. And that's actually where my father is buried, along with his parents. My father was someone who didn't want to die. And you can sort of see that on his cemetery plot, where we don't actually list his date of death because kind of in a way wanted him to almost live for forever. But the reason I'm sort of out here on this beautiful day with the birds chirping in the background is because I was looking at some numbers recently, some polling data, which suggested that the number of people who are actually getting buried like my father and my grandparents is very much on a decline. In fact, back in 2015 was the year in which cremations overtook burials as the main form of disposing of bodies after death in the United States. And it's a trend line that really hasn't stopped. And I look at Gallup polling from the early 90s, and what it showed was about two-thirds of people said that they wanted to be buried rather than cremated after they passed away. And I was thinking to myself, you know, these sort of grave sites are almost an homage in some sense to perhaps a time gone by. And as I sort of look at the plots here, right, what I see here is, if I go my furthest right, I can see someone who passed in 35, then 55, then 35, then 36, and 75, 2000. My father's the most recent in here, 2015. And I sort of just wonder, am I going to be someone who's going to be buried in a cemetery like this? Would my kids be? Are we going to end up in a situation where these types of cemetery plots are not necessarily going to be visited by a lot of people? And as I look at the data and I look at what's in front of me, I think it's a question really worth exploring. Shalom, folks. I'm Harry Enten. I'm the CNN election stats guy, but data and statistics can tell us so much more than just who people are going to vote for. And this is Margins of Error. Today, we're talking about death, specifically what we want to happen to our bodies after we pass away and join our pets over the Rainbow Bridge. This is going to impact us, I might say, quite literally, for eternity. So let's get into it.
Hi, Harry. My name is Carlene, and the plan is I want to be cremated. I don't want any memorials. I don't want no nothing. There's a family plot with a space for me, but I ain't going there if I have anything to say about it.
My end-of-life plan is to be cremated.
I would like to be buried. Something about my body being cremated feels a little strange.
I have wanted to donate my body to science, but my wife is very much against the idea. So I think I'll probably end up being cremated if she outlives me.
I'm 29, not planning on dying anytime soon, but when I die, I would like to be cremated and then have my ashes spread somewhere significant.
As you can tell from these voicemails, a lot of people are choosing cremation. In fact, according to stats from the National Funeral Directors Association, more than half of all Americans who die this year will actually be choosing cremation. And in 20 years, they predict nearly 80% of us will. Let me repeat that, 80%. And in some places, even today, it's even higher than that.
My Seattle location, in the heart of the city, it's 99 point something cremation.
That's Jeff Jorgensen. He's the owner and funeral director at Elemental Cremation and Burial in Seattle, as well as the co-owner and funeral director at Clarity Funerals and Cremation in Los Angeles.
And when I say 99%, if we do 1,000 families, there's 5 burials?
Jeez.
I will tell you right now, Harry, I am, you know, very little offends me. It's my business. Like, I see it day in and day out. Everyone else gets a little uncomfortable. It's like, hey, you know what? you've got to have some gallows humor to deal with this. And, you know, we're all going there at some point. So
I figured out a lot of things in my life, but how to cheat death, I have not yet figured out. Jeff has worked in the funeral industry for over 15 years, both running his own funeral homes and working for one of the largest corporations in the death care industry. He also happens to be a bit of a data geek himself when it comes to cremation stats, and it's led him to several big takeaways about why traditional burials are being replaced by cremations. He's going to walk us through some of those today.
So there's a host of reasons. There's a direct correlation between the level of education and the cremation rate. The higher the education level in a city, the more PhDs, the corollary is you have a higher cremation rate. You also have a higher cremation rate when you have an unchurched or largely secular city. And then just the practical financial side of things. As we have moved forward in our industry with traditional funeral that really focuses on the pomp and circumstance of funeral, that is too costly for most people. Like, it's just too expensive. They don't have $9,000, $10,000, $15,000 to dispose of mom. And when I say dispose of mom, I'm being very practical here. And the reality is they can create their own ritual and just cremate mom for $1,000. And so that financial tie is really the biggest part that's moved that.
Money and faith aside, Jeff sees another reason for the uptick in cremation. We are now a nation of transients, of snowbirds.
It usually bounces between Nevada and Hawaii as the highest cremation rate, with Washington as third and Oregon, you know, fourth. And Nevada is incredibly transient. So is Arizona. You've got a lot of Midwest people who winter there and they're snowbirds. You see it in Florida as well. Florida, Arizona, Nevada all have incredibly high cremation rates because those people aren't going to ship their body back to Minnesota and New York and Boston.
So it's a matter of convenience in some sense, I guess.
Actually, convenience and money.
So how is all of this affecting the funeral industry? How are funeral directors adapting or not adapting to the move away from traditional burials?
It's a great question. So we used to talk about the cremation problem and how do we deal with the cremation problem? And it always used to kind of make me bristle because it's not a cremation problem, it's a cremation reality. But the funeral industry has, until recently, really tried to figure out how to move the cremation rate back. And that was the initial reaction. To, you know, it's like, look, we got to shame these people into getting back to burial. And it didn't work for all the reasons we've discussed. If you have a $12,000 burial versus a $2,000 cremation and you don't have $12,000, no amount of shame is going to make you do it. So the next best thing is to try and build products and services around that cremation. Because let's face it, burial and cremation are just a way to move the body from a cooler. You know, I mean, you've got to put it someplace, right?
Sure. That's like true.
It's got to go somewhere.
So that gets us to the work that Jeff does. Both of his funeral homes are in the progressive death care space. I'll let him explain what that means.
What that means briefly is we don't sell big packages and we don't have a big marketing push to get you into a casket or an urn or these packages that sort of inflate the price. My passion has always been environmental stewardship in the funeral business and, you know, looking at new technologies or looking at old practices and finding ways to better meet client needs.
So, new technologies, I got to jump on that right there. I got to ask about that because it almost sounds like, you know, we're going to be like Spock and like Star Trek or something and we're going to get shot out.
Yep.
What the heck is new technologies?
You know, it's a bit of a misnomer, Harry. There really is no new tech with dead people. I mean, ultimately, after everything's said and done, we all end up as bone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is.
Just a heads up, folks. Things are about to get a little, I dare say, specific about how some of these options work.
So we have a new technology, which is actually old to the agriculture industry, which is alkaline hydrolysis. And over the past 10 years, it's been gaining traction. It's a lye bath, basically. It's an alkaline bath that reduces the soft tissue, leaves you with the bones. Alkaline hydrolysis is growing way faster than cremation ever did because it's sort of cremation with water, right? And so it's a natural, oh, wait, that sounds gentler. And that's a new technology to our industry. It's been around about 100 years in ranching to, you know, get rid of cows and horses. We like the environmental impact side of that versus cremation. It's cleaner. It's a better product all around. And so that's gaining traction a lot faster. As a percent of total families served over time, that one's fascinating to watch. One of my colleagues, Katrina Spade with Recompose, has brought human composting, otherwise known as natural organic reduction in Washington State. That's the legal term. And that is kind of, you could think of it as accelerated green burial. So in about 6 weeks, human remains are turned into soil. Yep, you got questions.
I got so many questions. As for somebody like myself who, you know, I'd be perfectly fine if they dumped me on the side of the road, you know, along sure. I-91, the bears might get a chance to eat me. And so I'm giving back to the community in that way.
Absolutely.
So we're doing all this stuff, this alkaline bath, this composting. Is this all about just decomposing faster in a more environmentally friendly way? Is that what we're really talking about here?
It is. So, I mean, if we're talking about just getting rid of a body as fast as possible, cremation in 2 hours, 1900 degrees, you're gone. But the question is, where do you draw the line on your carbon footprint? A cremation, I mean, I've got the data down to, I mean, based in therms. I mean, it's all energy units, right? And cremation has a fairly sizable footprint when compared to that burial. So it's the equivalent of about a 30-mile-per-gallon car driving 400 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So relative to your life, it's not that big, right? It's just, it's not huge. It's still a footprint. So aquamation or alkaline hydrolysis, we talked about earlier, that has a 90% reduction in the carbon footprint. It's heating water to 400 degrees under pressure, and that's done with electricity. And so that footprint of alkaline hydrolysis is tiny. But with the burial, they've got lawnmowers out once or twice a week. They've got edgers out quarterly to do all the markers. The carbon footprint of your burial over the course of a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, keeps going because you're still parked there. That footprint's big, but there are a lot of environmentally friendly options.
In a minute, we'll hear from my buddy John Laster on why he doesn't want to be buried, as well as hear about some of Jeff's stranger customer requests. I'm Harry Enten, and this is Margins of Error.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number Smart Beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature-balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. This week on Chasing Life...
I'm sorry that the Great Barrier Reef is no longer great, that we value Amazon much more than the Amazon, and that the waterfront neighborhood where you were growing up could be condemned by rising seas before you're old enough to apply for a mortgage.
That's my friend Bill Weir, CNN's chief climate correspondent. He's optimistic about the planet, and he's optimistic about our ability to take care of it. Listen to Chasing Life wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, folks. This is Margins of Error. I'm Harry Enten. Today, we're talking about death and why cremation is overtaking the more traditional burial. But before we get back to Jeff, meet my buddy, comedian John Laster.
I have always said, me, cremate me. Yeah. I don't want anybody seeing me in some damn suit I wouldn't wear with some hard bottom ass shoes. So, yeah, if I die and somebody says, hey, we should bury him, please, Harry, just come over, pour some gasoline on me and get it started.
We're going to start the bonfire. Bring out the flashes. We're going to have a July 4th parade in this funeral home. Literally.
Yes.
And everything sort of just blow up. That's quite the way to go out, though. No.
Yo, please, everybody, throw a Molotov cocktail on me. Do not let them put me in some box. I do not want anyone seeing me like that. Let's be honest. Like, how you look at a funeral is totally up to someone else. You don't get any say in that one. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And then people are trying to pretend that, oh, because everyone always says the same thing at a funeral. He looks so good.
He looks so lifelike.
He looks so peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
It's
funny because it's almost like you never hear anybody go, oh, that's an ugly baby.
Right.
And then at the end of the life, so they enter the life beautiful.
Yeah.
And they exit the life beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. No one ever walks up to the casket like, what the f***? What the f*** happened here? Who did this f***? Makeup. Yeah, no one ever says that.
Okay, back to Jeff Jorgensen. In addition to being the funeral director at two homes on the West Coast, he's also a founding member of the Order of the Good Death, a death acceptance nonprofit organization of funeral industry professionals, academics, and artists. What is the craziest question that you've ever been asked for or about in your work?
We had one a couple of weeks ago, where this woman wanted us to just start casting every part of her mom's body, you know, ears and nose and face and feet and hands. And she just wanted plaster casts of everything. And it's when you get into that really sticky grief that people try and hang on to whatever they can of the dead. People want to have a finger to hold on to that was dad's or something. It's like, no, I can't dismember your dad. Like, that's against the law. But really what's interesting about that is sort of the pathology behind the relationship.
You know, when my father passed, I don't think it was necessarily in my mind that I wanted to like sever his head and like keep it on top of the mantel case?
Generally not like the first thing you think of.
No, I you know, it was more of I'll keep like a baseball cap or maybe a picture or something like that.
Sure.
That seems normal. I must admit, holding onto a finger would be a little bit out there for me.
Now, don't get judgy, Harry.
I'm not getting judgy. I'm just saying it's not the first thing. Look, we all deal with grief in strange ways.
Sure.
This example, casting our loved one's body parts, might sound extreme, but it gets to the heart of something subtle but profound. Something we've already hinted at. How the rise in cremation might impact our rituals around death, grieving, and saying goodbye to the people we love.
Hey, Harry. My name is Chalo from Brooklyn, New York. And I want to be buried because it feels like the most poetic ending for life. I've always felt it somewhat peaceful to think about myself being lowered down under the grave. Yeah, I'm choosing burial mainly for poetic reasons.
The reason why I want to be buried is because I'm Catholic, and that's pretty traditional, and I'd also like to be buried next to my parents.
I do want to be buried. I think I like the idea of having a place for people to go to sort of remember me. I think that helps the grieving process. seeing ashes on a shelf just seems like clutter you can't throw away. Like, somebody's going to eventually have to be the one to throw you in the trash.
What do you think might happen as the ritual of us burying our loved ones sort of disappears?
You know, there is a loss of ritual. There is a loss of connection and healing, I think. If all we do is we look at cremation as a disposition and a way to get rid of a problem and just go about our daily life, if there isn't that cultural tie to the disposition with ritual, then I think we do lose something. That's something that can absolutely be remedied by families coming together and doing something on their own or working with a funeral director to create that space. When someone dies, there is a void. When your dad died, there was a big dad-sized hole in your life and you had to fill it somehow for those hours and days afterwards. So what do we fill that with? What rituals and what behaviors, what things do we do? And I think that's what we're really looking for as a society. And there's answers to that.
I got to ask, since we've been talking all about all this stuff, do you have an end-of-life plan? What do you want to happen to your body when you die if you've gone that far in your thought process? I got to think you've thought about it a little bit.
So it is written into my will that I'll go through alkaline hydrolysis. So, you know, cremation adjacent and scattering out in Puget Sound, which is just off of Seattle. And there are parties to be had. So, so yes, alkaline hydrolysis with party to follow.
Jeff's point about the loss of ritual is an interesting one. It's one that I'm thinking about when pondering how I want to go out. I used to want to be cryogenically frozen because I wanted to live for forever. But if I'm being honest with you, I'm not really sure I want to do that anymore. These days, I think I want to donate my body to science. If you're still unsure about your end-of-life decision, well, you can always look to what Brian has planned.
My name's Brian, and I have a bit of an untraditional plan. I'm trying to find a way to get my skull preserved and turn the rest of my body into diamonds that I will place in the skull that will keep as a family heirloom. But of course, there's a lot of regulatory hurdles in getting a skull preserved. So I'm still doing a lot of research on that, but have a lot of time as I'm only in my 30s.
Margins of Error is a production of CNN Audio and Magnificent Noise. It's produced by Sabrina Farhi, Eva Walchover, Jesse Baker, Megan Marcus, and Ashley Lusk, with support from Lindsay Abrams and Alexander McCall. Our sound designer is Kristen Muller. Our executive producer is Eric Newsom. And me? Well, I'm Harry Enten. So another reason I almost wanted to be out here is because, you know, you almost have life events that sort of change you. And, you know, I was not the coolest kid in the world by any stretch of the imagination. Every weekend, I think most guys in their early 20s probably go clubbing or they go out or they're going on dates or girls or boys or whatever. And that was not who I was. Every weekend, I went back up and hung out with my father. The reason I did was, I guess, in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, my father had me in his 60s, and I thought there was a decent chance I wouldn't have that much time, even though my father was in very good shape. And we hung out every weekend, and we spoke every day on the phone. And then life happens sometimes. And I remember I spoke with him on the phone in early September of 2015, must have been about 7:48, I think I called him up, and he was watching NYPD Blue. Everything was fine. And by 2 a.m. the following morning, it wasn't. He was gone. I don't think I've really ever been the same since. I've become colder. I'm friendly, but I don't think I'm as friendly. I think I put up with less. And death can really be a turning point, not just for those who pass, obviously, but for those of us who knew the departed. It changes who we are. And oftentimes we go out to cemeteries such as these to pay homage to the fallen, but also to reflect and talk with ourselves and bring ourselves up or down and just try and connect with someone who we've lost. And I sort of wonder whether or not, looking at the stats, we'll be able to continue to do so.
Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You can now watch CNN's Five Things on Max. Each weekday, Kate Baldwin breaks down the five essential news stories in 5 minutes or less. She'll get you up to speed and on with your day. CNN's Five Things with Kate Baldwin, streaming weekdays exclusively on Max.